Let us pray. Gracious God, as we open your word, quiet our hearts and clear our minds. Help us to remember your works, to see more clearly who you are, and to recognize your faithfulness in our lives. By your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to Jesus, and let what we hear today lead us into deeper trust, greater wisdom, and wholehearted praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning. So you'll be pleased to know I've practiced this at 8 o'clock, so should be a little bit more polished. Psalm 111. Praise begins with seeing God. But before we think about what the psalm teaches us, it helps to notice how it's actually been written. It's an acrostic psalm, where each line begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's as though the psalmist is saying, from A to Z, every part of God is worthy of our praise. It isn't simply a song. It's a carefully crafted meditation. The psalm invites God's people to slow down, to remember, and to contemplate who God really is. And notice something else. The psalm doesn't begin with a problem. It begins with God. Perhaps that is already a lesson for our own prayers. The psalm begins, "Praise the Lord." And almost everything that follows explains why. The psalmist continues, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright and in the congregation." There's something personal here. I will give thanks. But there's also something corporate. He praises God in the congregation, and that's us. Praise belongs both to the individual heart and to the gathered people of God. But notice how quickly the psalmist's attention moves away from himself. In verse 2, "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in him." The word "studied" is important. The psalmist isn't inviting us to take a passing glance at God's works. He's inviting us to stop, to reflect, to dwell upon them. The word suggests careful, joyful contemplation. This worship that engages both the heart and the mind. For Israel, God's works were not abstract ideas. They were stories that shaped their identity. The God who created the world, the God who delivered them from Egypt, the God who sustained them in the wilderness, and the God who provided for all their needs. And actually, the God who remained faithful to his covenant generation after generation. As they remembered what God had done, they were reminded of who God is. Paul makes a similar connection in Romans 1, where he says that God's eternal power and divine nature can be understood from what he has made. Creation points itself to its creator. And that's also the movement of Psalm 111. God's works reveal something about God's character. The praise glows out of remembering. I wonder where that challenge is in here for us. Can we remember? We can remember our disappointments more readily than God's faithfulness. Our anxieties can sometimes be more familiar to us than his promises. We remember the prayer that apparently wasn't answered, the difficult conversation, the diagnosis, and the uncertainty about tomorrow. And yes, all those things are real. The psalms never pretend to ask us otherwise. Now, Dad recently wrote a poem called Shadow, The Shadow and the Sun, reflecting on love, loss and remembrance. And there's one line that particularly stayed with me. And love is what we carry when we weep. There is something profoundly biblical in that. The existence of the shadow doesn't mean that the light has disappeared. In fact, there can only be a shadow because of the light. And perhaps praise can be like that too. Praise isn't pretending there are no shadows in our lives. It is remembering, even within them, that the light and the faithfulness of God. Paul uses similar imagery in 2 Corinthians when speaking of God's light shining in our hearts, even whilst describing our lives as afflicted and fragile. Christian hope does not deny the shadow. It knows where that light is coming from. Last week, Psalm 109 showed us that we can bring our anger, our injustice and our distress honestly before God. Now, Psalm 111 now invites us to do something alongside that honesty, to remember. Because when we remember what God has done, we begin to see more clearly who God is. And praise becomes the natural response. Now that takes us to the heart of the psalm, verses 4 to 9. Listen to the language that the psalmist uses. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides, he remembers his covenant, his works are faithful and just, his commands are trustworthy, and he provides redemption for his people. But then, holy and awesome is his name. Do you see what's happened? The psalmist began by looking at God's works, but through God's works he discovered God's character. The Exodus reveals his faithfulness, the provision his compassion, the covenant his steadfast love, and his redemption revealed his grace. God's actions reveal God's character. And there's one phrase here that deserves particular attention, and that's verse 5. He remembers his covenant forever. When Scripture says that God remembers, it doesn't mean that God has somehow forgotten. When God remembers his covenant, he acts faithfully according to his promises. God had made promises to his people. And generation after generation, despite their failures, he remained faithful. That was Israel's confidence. Not that life would always be easy, and their history clearly shows otherwise. Their confidence was that God would always be faithful. And centuries later, Paul does something remarkably similar at the end of Romans 11. After reflecting deeply on God's saving purposes, Paul reaches the point where explanation gives way to worship. Oh, the depth of riches of wisdom and the knowledge of God. And then, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. It's almost the movement of Psalm 111 expressed again, but in the New Testament. Contemplation becomes praise. We look at what God has done. We glimpse more clearly who God is. And worship follows. And that brings us naturally to our gospel reading. Now, Matthew 11 isn't a second sermon reading this morning. It's actually giving us a lens by which, as Christians, we can read Psalm 111. Because everything Psalm 111 celebrates about the character of God is revealed most fully to us in Jesus Christ. The gracious God, the compassionate God, the faithful God, the God who provides redemption. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Think about the significance of those particular words. Jesus doesn't say, "Let me tell you where you can find rest." He says, "Come to me." The God who knew Israel, knew through his mighty acts, has drawn near. And the invitation isn't to people who have everything sorted. It's to the weary, to the burdened, those carrying things that have become just too heavy. Perhaps some of us came to church this morning carrying something like that. Jesus doesn't ask us to pretend the burden isn't there. He invites it to bring it to him, invites us to bring it to him. The God whose faithfulness from Psalm 111 remembers is the God who in Christ invites us to trust him. And that gives our praise a deeper foundation. We don't praise God because everything in life is good. We praise God because God is good. And there is an enormous difference. And then Psalm 111 ends somewhere that at first might be surprising in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. So why does a psalm about praise finish by talking about wisdom? Because genuine worship changes the worshipper. The biblical fear of the Lord isn't about being frightened of God. It's about reverent awe. It's about recognizing God for who he truly is and allowing that understanding to reorder our lives. And here again, the New Testament takes us deeper. Paul tells the Corinthians that Christ has become for us wisdom from God. Wisdom towards which Psalm 111 points isn't simply knowing more about the facts of God. For Christians, true wisdom ultimately leads us to Christ. If God is faithful, I can trust him. If God is compassionate, I can come to him. If God is just, I can entrust injustice to him. If God provides, I don't have to live entirely from anxiety. And if God is God, then I don't have to be. That is wisdom. True wisdom begins when God is restored to his proper place at the centre of our lives. And that changes our prayers. It changes our perspective. It changes how we carry our burdens. And it changes how we face tomorrow. So what difference does Psalm 111 make to our lives and to our prayers? Perhaps it gives us a simple pattern for prayer this week. Before immediately telling God what you need, remember something that God has done. Then ask, what does that show me about who God is? And then allow that remembrance to become praise. Perhaps even begin with a prayer. Lord, I remember when. And then see where that prayer takes you. Because our prayers don't always need to begin with our problems. Sometimes they can begin with God. There is one final detail about Psalm 111 that I love. It has a companion. The next Psalm, 112, is also acrostic. Psalm 111 describes the character and works of God, but Psalm 112 goes on to describe the life of the person who fears the Lord. And that order also matters. First, we see who God is. Then, by his grace, we begin to see who we are becoming. Paul expresses something very similar in 2 Corinthians when he says that we behold the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his image. Do you see that movement? We behold, and God transforms. God reveals himself to us, and then he begins to reshape us. And perhaps that captures something important about praise. Christian life doesn't begin by trying harder to praise. It begins by seeing God more clearly. The clearer our vision of God, the more naturally praise rises, trust deepens, and wisdom grows. Our prayers change because our hearts have first been captivated by God, who has revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ. So this week, remember his works. See his character. Yes, bring him your burdens, but let the praise follow. Because from A to Z, from beginning to end, he is worthy of our praise. Amen.